Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here today and good to be back from a two-week study leave. And thank you again for allowing me to have that. I got several books read and a lot of church videos watched, and hopefully I'll be able to make some use of that for the church. So, and I thank Betty and Beverly for coming to preach, and I know it was a nice change of pace. I hope you're here to support them and enjoy their messages. Our session council will meet Wednesday, that's this Wednesday at 7 p.m. Donut Fellowship on April the 3rd. And you can read about the food bank, the pantry shelves are empty. The Women's Association is raffling an 81 by 96 full cross-stitch quilt on May 19th at 1 p.m. after the May luncheon. We're planning to hang it in the fellowship hall to encourage people to purchase tickets for the donations of $2 each, or 3 for $5, which is a great bargain. Is who has tickets they can tell me?
You
can
see.
Who?
BJ and I.
BJ and Carol have tickets if you would like to buy. And the cross-stitch, if you didn't see it, is at the back of the church. I'll remind you about your per capita, $29.10 for each member. We try to get that over and above what your normal offerings are, because this goes to our local presbytery, Senate, and then the General Assembly for their national meetings. You can sign up for scripture readers, and hopefully we won't need a winter weather announcement. Nursery care is available every Sunday, and the library room, it says crying room, but it's also a coughing room too, if anyone just needs to get up for a while and go in there. I sent out on Facebook, Joe D'Amico, Sherry's husband, cleaned the back of the church, shampooed it, so we very much appreciate that. I think
we're
going to finish this week, and Sherry and Lynn, I believe, I don't know if there's someone else, cleaned out the library, looking so much nicer, got rid of all that dust and mold, the doors being painted red. This will be another coat. Hopefully this week with the weather changing and just brightening up the church, cleaning up, trying to do things to make the church more attractive to us and to people who might want to visit. So thank everyone for everything that you're doing to make Glenshaw Valley such a wonderful place to fellowship and worship. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, number 18, Come, We That Love the Lord.
Come, we that love the Lord.
beautiful song. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we feel privileged to be your children. We are grateful that you provide for our needs. Forgive us when we reject your love. Forgive us when we do not open our hearts for true forgiveness. Help us to be kind, gentle, and full of mercy. Remind us that we were all prodigal children. It was your love that called us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for our personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Church worldwide as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not absolutely certain of someone's name, ask them.
I come to the cross where
Amen. That was absolutely beautiful. I imagine you've noticed this. The choir dressed in white shirts and black pants, and I just think they look so very nice. Our responsive reading, Psalm 32 on 698. Back of your hymnals. 698, Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit.
When I hear silent, my bones waste away. Hear my groaning all day long, for day and night I hear your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped, as is in the heat of summer.
Then I acknowledge my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly praise to you, while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many of the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him.
Rejoice in the Lord and be glad.
At this time, I ask the elder on the door to come forward to prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to start with a praise request that Leonard is back safely from his study leave and rested and learned and smarter. We're praising for that. And we do have some prayer requests this morning. Kathy Seggy is asking for prayers for her cousin Celine Dumont. She has severe recurring cellulitis in her leg, and Kathy's asking for prayers that her leg heals and stays healthy, and also prayers that her faith remains strong, and she is impassive. Kathy's also asking for prayers for the family and friends of Mary Jane Swedko, who is a cousin, and her daughter Brittany was killed by a drunk driver. Prayers that the family finds strength and faith and understanding during this time of extreme grief. Kathy's also asking for prayers for herself. She had a diagnostic procedure done on her right shoulder, and please be in prayer for a good outcome. And Sandy Salmon is asking for prayers for a friend of hers, Regina. She has had cancer 3 times and had an MRI of her wrist, which she thought was broken, only to find that there was more cancer there. It is also in her ribs. Prayers that the doctors can provide comfort and treatment options, and that she and her family find comfort in the Lord.
And just an update, if you did not get it, Jenny Reinhart's daughter came home doing much better, but she certainly still needs our prayer with her MS, her and Jenny, ongoing prayers. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for this day. We look around the world and we see so many terrible events happening, wars and famine and tornadoes. And help us to stop for a moment and think about our lives. Even though we have difficult times and circumstances, things could always be worse. Help us to be satisfied in a way with who we are and what we have, but to not be satisfied with our relationship with you, to want to grow spiritually in wisdom, in knowledge, in love, and understanding. Remind us that we have all been the prodigal son, our daughter, at some times in our lives. Maybe more than once we walked away from you and then we realized we needed to come home to you. for any of us who may be in that situation, or our family, or our friends, people in the neighborhood, we pray for them, that they will come home to you and reestablish that relationship, or establish it for the very first time. As a Church of Christ here at Glenshaw Valley, as minister, I thank you for all these prayer warriors who spend time with you, lifting up the church, lifting up me as the pastor, the session, the deacons, all the different activities, just the everything that we're trying to do here. And also lifting up one another where there is hurt, where there is need. Lifting up our community. And we bring all these prayers to you, thanking you for your love, your mercy, your understanding, and pouring out your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for Jesus, his sacrifice upon the cross during Lent. Make it more real to us. Don't let us just roll over it and, yes, this is Lent and sin, and this is Easter and he rose from the dead. Yeah, we do this every year. Renew our hearts again. Renew our faith and help us in our hope. We thank you for Jesus giving the disciples this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our screen song for this morning, Refiner's Fire. Thank you. prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you. You who have given so much to us, our very lives, everything that we own, everything that we possess, you actually own. It is yours, and you give it to us as stewards. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the opportunity to serve, to worship, to pray, to reach out to our community. Thank you for the gifts that you've poured out upon us. Help us to recognize those gifts, and if we're not using them, to do so. And we certainly thank you for the gift, the financial giving. Bless everyone, dear Lord. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of those citizens of that country, who sent him to fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' They began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he had got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.'" Bless the reading and hearing.
Father tells a story about putting his four-year-old daughter to bed one evening. And instead of reading a fairy tale, he read her the story of the prodigal son. A little unusual for a four-year-old daughter, but that's what happened. Talked about the younger son took his inheritance and went off to a far country and squandered it. And then he finally came home when he had nothing left, when he had nothing to eat and was having to feed the pigs. When they finished the story, the dad asked his daughter what she had learned. And after thinking for a moment, she quipped as a four-year-old would, "Dad, I learned never leave home without your credit card." Well, that's a pretty good lesson, but I don't really think it's the one that Jesus was trying to get across. Reverend Ronnie White of Midland, Texas, tells us a story about a preacher many years ago named G.W. Ravensbury. Ravensbury actually made his living the preachers back in the old days would ride their horses from town to town, and then they would go to another one and then another one, kind of like an evangelist. Well, he would do this by riding the trains to the different towns, and then he would preach for a specified length of time. There was a young man on the train. He noticed, he looked over, and he had a cardboard suitcase stuffed under his seat. And he noticed that the man was very anxious. And about every 10 minutes, he would get up and pace and just wringing his hands and just look so upset, full of angst and anxiety. Finally, Raymond Berry decided to have a chat with the young man. So he got up and asked if he could have a seat next to him and introduced himself as a minister and said, "If you'd like to talk, I would like to listen." Well, he said it was like opening up a water spigot. The man just began to pour out his heart about his problems. So one day, my dad and I, which was not unusual for us to do, got into a real knockdown, drag-out fight. Just with words, but... And I said, "Well, I think I'll just leave." And my daddy said, "Well, son, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the backside on the way out." So I was so angry, I went up to my room, I packed that little cardboard suitcase, put everything I could into it, and began to leave. As I went to leave, my daddy yelled back at me, "Son, if you walk out that door, do not ever come back." So things didn't go too well for me after that. I kept wandering from one podunk town to another and one piddling job from another, not making hardly enough to live on. One night I was out drinking with some friends. We had too much to drink and we came up with a plan that we would go down the road and we would rob the liquor store. So we got caught. Went to trial. I went to prison. Before I got out, I decided to ride home to Mom and Dad and tell them my situation. Tell them what had happened to me since I left home. And asking them if I could I come home? I'm riding this train, Reverend, because my house, my parents' house, is just right off the railroad tracks. In about 10 minutes, we'll be coming up to the house, and I'm scared. I've got nowhere to go. I've got no money, no future. Everything has turned sour for me. So when I wrote in this letter, I said, "I'll be passing through on the train. If you would like me or would accept me coming home, tie something white on the tree out front." As they got just a few minutes away from the house, the young man began to get more anxious and more scared. What is he going to do if there's no white cloth out? He's going to have to ride the train to the next town. Maybe get a job, maybe not. Nothing is going the way he had hoped. I said, "Reverend, I just can't look. When we get up close, would you look for me?" I said, "Yes, son, I will." The young man knew they were at the place where the house would be and he couldn't look. So the pastor looked and he saw a tree. And when he saw that tree, he saw a white bed sheet. He saw white towels. He saw white t-shirts. He saw white underwear. Everything that was white that was in that house was on that tree. He said, "Son, look." As soon as the train came, slowed down, he jumped off and he went running to his house. And the parents, knowing the train was coming, ran out the door. And they met each other in the yard and hugged and cried. Ravenberry said that that is a picture of God's grace. That is what God's grace is like for each and every one of us. The cross was a way of God emptying all the white linens in heaven so that it would be known for all time that he wants us to come home. No matter what we've done, No matter where we've been, we are always welcome in God's home. Some of you have had a story that played out in your own families. Maybe it was a son or a daughter or a brother or an uncle. Someone in the family for a while became lost to the family, went on their own way, rejected the family. Alcohol, drugs, mental illness, a host of things it could be, but a need to escape from the home is a story as old as time. Maybe you yourself were once that prodigal, or maybe you are still that prodigal son or daughter. In our hearts, we're all prodigals to one degree or another. Or maybe we're the elder brother, the one who is self-righteous and can't even admit our need for repentance. And that's really human nature. That's why this familiar story strikes home as it does. You know the story. It begins with the first few verses that was not read this morning, but of chapter Luke. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Luke sets this scene masterfully. As you know, tax collectors were despised by the Jews. They had close ties to the occupying Roman government, and then they would collect over and above what they should really be collecting. And rabbinic rule stated that one should not associate with ungodly people. So the rabbis could not even teach those who they judged to belong to a class of sinners, which certainly included the tax collectors. Yet here was Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, teaching a group of tax collectors and sinners if they were acceptable as anyone else in the congregation or the community. This disgusted the Pharisees. This disgusted the teachers of the law. And this is a particular setting for today's story in this parable when he teaches the parable of the prodigal son. A man had two sons. And this is a remarkable contrast between the two boys. And that happens in families. Daughters, sons. Sometimes we hear something, "Well, he's nothing like his older brother. He's nothing like his older sister. Why can't they comply? Why can't they be good? Why can't they follow our rules?" Now, the younger of the sons was restless, while the older boy in this story was compliant to the wishes of his family. Again, nothing is really shocking about that. But then the younger boy does something that is indeed shocking. One day he comes to his father and says, "Father, I want you to give me my share of the inheritance. Everything that is rightfully mine." And normally the slave was not divided or given to the heirs unless the father became incapable or the father died. So the younger son's request was therefore seen as really an act of rebellion. He was committing a grave sin to even making this request. Requesting his share of his father's estate was a very radical act by the younger boy, but the father's act was even more radical. Jesus says simply, "So the father divided his property between the two," which was not supposed to be done. Now, I wonder if Jesus wasn't saying something to us here about God. That God respects our freedom. He doesn't make us do what he wants. He asks us to do what he wants. If we're determined to rebel and go our own way, God will not interfere. We can rebel for all eternity and God will not seek to overpower our decision. C.S. Lewis, the great writer, said there are two types of people. Those who say to God, "My will be done," and another set of people who said, "God, may your will be done for me." The father let his young wayward son have his way, and the son's request really hurt the father. I think you can imagine that. I think it bruised his heart. How many of you would feel hurt if your child basically came to you and said, "I want my inheritance now. As far as I'm concerned, you can just die. Just give me my money. I want out of here." That would hurt you. That would bruise you. It would break your heart. The younger son gathered his belongings and inheritance, and he went out to a far land, far away as he could get. How many times do we hear people say, I just got to get out of this town. I got to get away from everybody. I got to get away from my family. And Luke says he squandered his money in wild living. It was party time all the time, living it up like there was no tomorrow, spending, buying people drinks, I'm sure, spending money on women, everything. And then the money ran out. The fun ended. And I'm sure the friends peeled away. The younger son had spent all that he had. And there was a recession, and the jobs of people under 30 dropped off the radar, and they had to move back in with their parents, and he couldn't even get a job at McDonald's. Well, that's not really the way the biblical story goes. Things were a little more desperate back then. There was a famine in the land, and he had no money. He would have starved to death. He couldn't go down and sign up for substance or food bank, anything. And for him to feed pigs, we may say, well, that's a good job, you know, pig farmers. Maybe you even had some yourself. But feeding pigs for a Jew was a big, big deal. The Jew swine were considered unclean, and no Jew would take this job willingly. But this boy was so desperate that he even considered not just feeding the hogs, but eating what the hogs were being fed. Finally, Luke says, he came to his senses and thought, how many of my father's servants have plenty to eat, even more, an abundance of food, and here I am starving to death. I will go back to my father and ask if I can come home. And say, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. And so with his tail between his legs, he goes home. And then something extraordinary happens. Luke says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, and ran to him and kissed him, throwing his arms around him. The son begins very carefully to give his rehearsed speech about how sorry he is. But the father's not even listening to him. He doesn't care about that. He's too busy giving his servants orders. Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Get his ring and put it on his finger. And get the sandals and put sandals upon his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. And let's eat and let's celebrate. My son has come home. He was once was lost, but now is found. He was dead, but now he is alive. So Luke says they begin to celebrate. And those listening to Jesus' parable, both the religious leaders and the sinners, would have been flabbergasted by this happening. Father's demonstration of grace after what his son has done has really broken the law, has embarrassed his father, and you're accepting him back, and you're putting him back into a place of prominence within your home. The father ran and kissed the boy, had the best robe placed upon him as an indication of distinction, and a ring symbolizing his restored place in the household, and sandals representing his status as a free man because slaves did not wear sandals. And then they had the feast. Can you put yourself in the place of that father welcoming home a lost child? Many of you can. The book, The Hurting Parent, by Margie and Greg Lewis, tells the story of a couple who had two daughters still at home who received a call from their wayward son. He was calling from a motel a few hours away. He said, I'm hungry. I'm hurting. And then his voice just trailed off. And then someone grabbed the phone, a strong voice, and told what was happening, that his son was at the Holiday Inn 150 miles away. So the whole family piled into the car and made that trip. And when they arrived, the manager placed their inebriated, emaciated son, helped him get into the front seat, and the father leaned over and buckled the seat belt. The stench of alcohol and vomit and weeks on the street was overwhelming. They had to literally roll down the windows to ride back home. It was so bad. It was then that the father understood what the prodigal father felt when he embraced his young son and welcomed him back into his home. It's a story told time and time again. A young person wanders far away from home. A parent waits and hopes and prays for the son or the daughter to come home, for reconciliation to take place. And even we've not had a young person in our own families who has wandered into the far country, it is still the story of you and of me. This is a story of the human heart wandering far from God until that day comes when we finally see the wonder of God's grace and we submit ourselves totally and fully to our Heavenly Father. All of us, sooner or later, need to make that journey home. In another book titled Sons of Father's Love, another father writes, "When my son called, I didn't want to take the call. I did not want to hear from my son. Scott had stolen from the family. He had manipulated us. He had failed us. He had abused us in every way possible. And to be honest with you, it had been a relief to not have heard from him for 2 years. A relief. Scott told me he had been through another rehab program. A year and a half ago. He said, but this one provided something that none of the other rehabs provided. They helped me find Jesus. They helped me open up. He had met Jesus and said, Dad, I am a new man. Right, thought his father. Here we go again. Come home, he'll rob from us, he'll abuse us, he'll steal from us, and then he'll be gone again. They said this young man arrived at the airport, dressed nicely in clean clothes, shaved, nice haircut, well-groomed, so his eyes were bright and clear. The father goes on to tell about the radical change that Christ that he saw had made in his son's life. So my wife and I had never really been churchgoers, but the change in Scott was just too dramatic to ignore. So we became Christians. And 10 years later, our entire family are Christians. Jesus has given us a new life, just as he gave the prodigal son in the Bible story. Obviously, the story of the prodigal son is the ultimate story of second chances. I think every one of us needs second chances. We need a second chance sometimes with God. Sometimes we need second chances with our family, with our spouses, our neighbors, whoever it might be. We need forgiveness. And we need to recommit our lives to a relationship with Jesus. Not just a relationship with the church, but a relationship with the Lord and Savior, one who has brought salvation to us. So I ask you, in any way at this time, are you a prodigal? Do you need to come home? And I'm not talking about being on the outskirts of town and looking over. I'm talking about fully committed coming home to your Savior. God is not concerned with what we've done in the past. We ask forgiveness. We get it. He loves us. We are His children. If you need to come home, He's going to throw His arms around you and spiritually kiss you. May God bless you. Amen. 542, when we all get to heaven. leave the sanctuary today. Whether you identify more with the prodigal son or the compliant son who stayed home and did everything that he thought was right, may you go thinking about your life and be easy on judgment upon other people when they ask for forgiveness and they want to come home. Whether it's literally a son and a daughter coming home, or whether someone wanting to come back and go to church, whatever that situation might be, open up your hearts, open up your arms and your life, just as God opens up His arms and His love for each and every one of us. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.